This morning I want to begin with a reading from the book of Proverbs. A well-known proverb in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no chief, overseer, or ruler. Provides her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as a robber, and thy want as an armed man. This, of course, is the well-known proverb encouraging the lazy man to go look at the ant. Look down at the ground, look at the ant, and see that she is very busy working. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to consider the fact that Christ wants his followers to get up and engage in physical work, to get out and get a job. And this is a topic, in my opinion, that is often neglected today. We focus on other kinds of things and try to correct other kinds of faults and wrongs, and it's certainly good to do that with the Word of God. But let's not overlook the fact that Christ wants his followers and all mankind to work. And so I want to talk a little bit about the Christian and his work this morning. Unfortunately, we see in our culture more and more the young people coming up, they are being lazy. And it seems like they have all the time of the day to get out and do all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing when they actually should be working and contributing to society and keeping their mind and their body active. But rather, they just stay at home and look at their phone and play video games and surf the net, and they're not really being profitable with the mind and body that God gave them. And they end up getting into all kinds of trouble. So let's talk about the Christian and his or her work. Very, very important. You know, the older Bible versions use the word sluggard. The newer versions speak of the lazy person. And there are so many proverbs that speak about this. Also in chapter 10, verse 26, chapter 13, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, chapter 26, verse 16. So many places in the proverbs that tell a person to get up and work. And there was a problem with this back in Solomon's day. And there's still a problem with it today. Some people, for some reason, feel that they're just going to be lazy all day long. Now, I understand that there are situations where, real situations, where someone is truly handicapped. Someone, either because of a mental issue or a physical issue, they just cannot get out and work. And we make exceptions for that, and we understand those kind of things. I'm not talking about that this morning. I understand that and appreciate that. What I'm talking about this morning is the person who can get out and work. They do have the mind and the body to do that. They just choose not to. Somebody else is going to take care of them. Mom and dad will take care of them. The government will take care of them. Some charity group or some society will take care of them. And they just don't want to get up and work. Another proverb in Proverbs chapter 26, you begin to see the excuses that lazy people make, why they can't get up and work. Proverbs 26, verse 13, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. I can't get out and get to work. There might be some problem. Verse 14, as the door turns upon its hinges, so does the sluggard upon his bed, just going back and forth but not contributing anything good. Verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wearies him to bring it again to his mouth. One of the problems with laziness is you get to the point where you just don't want to do anything, and even simple tasks are too hard for you. Verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Here's another problem with the lazy person. You go talk with them about getting up and getting a job, and they always have some better way. You know, they're always smarter than you, and they always have better reasons why they shouldn't be working, and you never can talk any good sense into them, and so forth. And so we still find all of that to this day. God actually condemns laziness or idleness both in both Testaments, both the Old and New Testament. While we're here in Proverbs chapter 19, look at Proverbs 19, verse 15. Proverbs 19, 15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and the idle soul shall suffer hunger. We come to the New Testament. We're going to see here some passages here in just a minute where Paul and others talk about the importance of working. And Jesus teaches in the parable of the labor in the vineyards in Matthew chapter 20. He teaches the fact that he's looking for people to work in his kingdom and not be idle. When the man that owned this vineyard went out to find laborers, he went to the marketplace where they were standing. And in verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said unto them, "Why stand ye here all day idle?" They say unto him, "Because no man has hired us." He said unto them, "Go you also into the vineyard." You know, some people are standing looking for work, and that's a good thing. Other people are standing around. They don't want to work, and that's not a good thing. And so in our regular physical work and even in our service to Christ, God wants us to be energetic. He wants us to be zealous. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So that's supposed to be the Christian in their physical and in their spiritual approach to life. Paul uses the word slothfulness, and we find that word in the Old Testament. Think about the animal, the sloth. If you've ever been to a zoo and you see a sloth, you don't have to look very quickly. They're slow. There's plenty of time to see them. They just hang around or sitting around in a tree, and they move very slowly. And so we have our word slothfulness, which has the idea of being slow. And we should not be that in our attitude toward life. In fact, we don't realize this, but even in the Lord's church, those who claim to be Christians who are idle and who are not working, we are to withdraw our fellowship from them. That lets us know that this is not just some light matter. You know, sometimes in a local church setting, we'll make sure that, well, if somebody's committing adultery, we really need to check on that. But what if somebody in the local church is lazy when they need to be working? That's just as serious. And Paul brings this out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you." He's talking about when he was with them in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. He did physical work while he was there, just a few weeks. He did physical work, and he also did the preaching of the gospel. Paul writes, "Neither did we eat bread for nothing at any man's hand, but in labor and travail, working night and day, that we might not burden any of you." So that we can have something to eat and so that we can't burden others. One of the problems with idleness and laziness is it burdens others and we don't care. We're lazy and we're selfish. We don't care if mom and dad have to bail us out. We don't care if the government has to bail us out or somebody else. It doesn't matter if we're a burden on other people to pay our bills and buy our food and our clothes and provide our shelter. Paul's attitude was we didn't want to burden anyone. That needs to be our attitude. And our young people today have lost sight of that kind of thing. They live in a selfish world. They live in an entitlement world. You owe me this and you owe me that. You owe me a phone and you owe me a place, a roof over my head and this and that. And they've got this lazy, selfish entitlement attitude. So Paul worked with his hands while he was there and he preached the gospel, and that's how a church got started there. But he didn't want to be a burden. Verse 9, "Not because we have not the right, but to make ourselves an example unto you that you should imitate us." Brethren can support gospel preaching, but and he does have that right, and he talks about that right in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But he wanted to set an example of working. Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some that walk among you disorderly." Laziness is disorderliness. It's not according to the order of what Christ wants for his people. "They work not at all, but are busybodies." They get into people's business. They're not doing their own business, but they know how to get into other people's business. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. It's a command to work. Laziness is not an option. We need to be using our minds and our bodies to be doing something. It's a command, and we need to remember that. And I believe it's a command that has gotten neglected by some in our society today. Verse 13, "But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obeys not our word by this epistle," in other words, they continue to be idle and lazy, "note or mark or identify that man that you have no company with him, to the end that he may be ashamed, and count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You cannot be in company and fellowship with this Christian. They need to be marked and noted and withdrawn from in the local congregation. And so it's a very serious kind of thing. We also find that Paul addresses this, and Paul was a hard worker himself, physical, secular job, if you want to call it that, and he practiced what he preached on that matter. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaking to the younger widows, he wants them to marry again and be productive. And so 1 Timothy 5:11, "But younger widows refuse," it's in the context of taking care of them monetarily with the local church funds. The young widows are not to be on that role or roster to do that. They can marry again and be busy. "For when they have grown wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation." And that is, they desire to marry for the wrong reason. "Having condemnation, because they have rejected their first pledge. And with all they learn also to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." This is the same as 2 Thessalonians 3. They don't do any physical kind of work, but they have time to get into being busybodies and talking about other kind of people all day long. So they do find something to do, even though it's the wrong thing to do. What's the solution? What's Paul's solution? Well, just give them a government handout, you know. Support their laziness. No. Verse 14, "I desire therefore that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. For some are already turned aside after Satan." Notice that, marry. When you're married, your day is filled with checking on your spouse and doing things with your spouse and making sure that they're taken care of and serving them and helping them. Bear children. When you're raising children, that'll give you plenty to do throughout the day. Any godly mother that is hearing me at this moment knows that when you bring a child into the world, it is a full-time job from morning till night. And sometimes, especially when they're really little, throughout the night. That'll keep you busy. Bear children. Number three, rule the household. This is a house manager. And looking to the affairs of the food and the shelter and the clothing and making sure that everyone is taken care of. That's a noble work and a noble profession and a very good thing. Sometimes I'll hear a woman say, "Well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom." Don't ever use the word just. "I'm just a stay-at-home mom." Don't do that. It's a very honorable work that God has given you to do. And when a young woman, a young widow here, marries again and does these things, they will be so productive. And then Paul says it'll keep you from doing, turning aside after Satan, giving no occasion for the adversary, that's the devil, for reviling, for some have already turned aside after Satan. Yeah, you've got plenty of time during the day to do what the devil wants you to do. So, marry, bear children, rule the household. That'll keep your mind and body active and not just sitting around thinking up things that end up doing what the devil wants you to do. So, there is work to do. First of all, there is work with regard to employment. Get up, get a job, and get to work. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that you work with your hands where you are not in need of anything. Again, every once in a while, you'll find someone who needs special assistance because it's a special case, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about people who can work and they choose not to. Paul says, to work with your own hands, even as we charged you, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. That's a command, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are without. It sets a good example, a proper example, before outsiders, non-Christians, and may have need of nothing. There's your program that is set in place by God. Not government bailout safety nets, but working. That's what provides and allows you to take care of yourself. So there's physical, secular employment. Number two, there's work in the home. I mentioned earlier in 1 Timothy 5, Paul talks about being a manager of the house. Paul talks in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 that young women would marry, that they would love their husbands, love their wives, and be workers at home. That has been so neglected in our society today, and we wonder why the young people are growing up doing the terrible things that they're doing that we see on the news. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they were not raised by a godly father and a godly mother. And in some of the recent shootings that we have seen in our society, when investigating the personal lives of the shooter, in the case of one of them, it was not just thousands, but hundreds of thousands of hours playing video games at home. So, work at home, mothers being good, and fathers, making sure the home is taken care of, but the mother here in Titus 2:5, workers at home, that's a noble work. And number three, the Lord's work in the church, doing the things that Christ wants us to do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So you stop and think about it, friends. If a man or a woman got up each day and they had to spend their day either getting a job, working at their job, working at home, raising their children properly, and then doing some what we would call church work, can you imagine how satisfied that person would be at the end of the day? The accomplishments, the good things that they would accomplish in their job, in the home, and in the church. There wouldn't be any time for any of this foolish and ungodly behavior that we see out in society with regard to violence and doing all kinds of terrible things. No time for that during the day. No time for that during the night. We're so tuckered out at the end of the day that we're sleeping at night like we're supposed to, not out roaming the streets, causing problems. Do you see, friends, the simple concept of work in these areas of our life would take care of so many problems that we see in society. The laziness, the violence, all the programs that are funded by taxpayers' money to fund laziness, and all of the problems that we have, many of them could be solved. It might take several things to solve them, but one of the big things that would solve them would be a person just getting up each day and working. We have things in our society that deal with drugs and violence and criminality, Why? Person sitting around all day long, not working, and has time to do these ungodly things. So, Christ wants his followers to get up and work. Now, in the remainder of our time, I'd like to turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'd like to take some advice again from Solomon, this time out of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we find that Solomon, as a king, had done physical kind of work, and he offers some inspired counsel on this matter. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11, he talks about all the works that my hands have wrought and on the labor that I labored to do. I looked on all the works of my hands and the labor that I labored. What were some things that Solomon said about work? I'm going to look at some wise principles that can be gained from Solomon that will help us throughout the work day. First of all, know that work is a gift of God. It's not a curse from the devil. It's a gift from God. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, one of the curses for Adam's sin was that he would have to work with the sweat of his brow. But work itself was not a curse. Adam and Eve already had work before they sinned. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, they were placed in the garden to dress it and keep it. They were to be gardeners, if you will. That's what they were supposed to get up and do each day. Notice that in this paradise, where it's just Adam and Eve, God wanted their minds and their bodies to stay active. Notice that. Work is a very good thing, and it was from the very beginning. God makes mankind, and he knows what is best for their mind and body. Stay active in both of those areas. So work is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy good in all his labor is the gift of God. Enjoying good in all his labor is the gift of God. So just remember, it's what God gives me, and it's what is best for me. Here's a second principle that comes from Ecclesiastes, and that is work hard. Work hard and then rest hard. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Work hard and then rest hard. God worked for 6 days in creating the world, and then he rested on the seventh day, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, to give a pattern to mankind to work hard during the week and rest, what we would say, on the weekend. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, the Old Testament Israelite was to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. We've got a situation today where people take this work hard principle to the extreme, and they don't rest properly. They don't rest their mind and their body properly. Do you remember when people worked 40 hours a week? That's almost unheard of today. Then it became 50, then it became 60, then it became 70. People used to work 5 days a week, and then it was 6 days a week, and then it was 7 days a week. Their marriage suffers, their family suffers, their own mental and physical health suffers, all the relationships around them suffer, and of course they have no time for God. Church, Bible, prayer, Christians assembling on Sunday, they don't have time for any of that. What little time they have, maybe they might go out and get on the boat or go to the golf course or sit around in their PJs on Sunday and watch TV, but no time for God. Friends, we've got to have a really good work ethic. There's one extreme in our nation today, and that is that people are lazy. The other extreme, among some, it seems like they work so hard, they don't rest and take time for the good relationships around them. Here's a third principle, and that is that we need to work with joy, not with sorrow. We just read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 13 earlier. To enjoy good in all his labor. Sometimes we forget about that. We need to find joy in our work. And I would suggest that if you don't enjoy what you're doing, try to find another job. You need to be able to get up in the morning and look forward to going and accomplishing good, producing something good in society, something that gives you personal accomplishment. Our youngest son just graduated with a civil engineering degree, and he's now working for a civil engineering firm down in the northern side of Atlanta. He's 22 years old, young people, 22 years old. You can get out. You can get a good education. You can get a good job. And from time to time, he'll call mom and dad, and he'll talk about different things, different projects that he's working on and how he's enjoying designing this and designing that. And good for him. We need to have joy in our work. Find something that you enjoy doing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. And who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? And so we need to understand that's an important principle as well. Number four, work without letting work itself be the goal. We need to understand that work is important, but work itself is not just the goal. Solomon talks about people who work all the time and all they do is just add up their money. And then in Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the fullness of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Work, have contentment, enjoy life, but don't let work become a god. Don't let work become an idol. Keep it all in perspective and don't let it get out of hand. And so we need to understand that. And then last of all, work while keeping your eyes on God. It is so important that you keep your eyes on God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, for God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon, different places, encourages work. But he knows that the ultimate attitude is that I have to bring my life into conformity to God's word and will. And so, friends, work is a gift from God. It's what is best for you. Work hard. Work hard and then rest hard. Work with joy, not with sorrow. Work without letting work itself be the goal. And work while keeping your eyes on God. If you hear me, understand that we're in a modern day culture that in so many ways is promoting idleness and laziness. Don't fall prey to that. It's not good for your mind. It's not good for your body. Christ wants his followers to work. Get a job. Work hard in the home and become a faithful Christian by obeying the gospel, putting on Christ in baptism, and be a hard worker in the church. That's how you'll have a truly fulfilled day. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.